This episode of Lucas, Tigers, and Bronze is brought to you by PWCC. PWCC is currently running an unlimited free vault promo, which is running through July 31st, through the end of the National. The vault is 100% free for all graded cards valued at over $50. There's no ingestion costs, no storage fees, and unlimited submissions. Just enter the promo code VAULT, V-A-U-L-T, when creating your submission to apply the promo.
Luca Nation. Episode 746 of Lucas, Tigers, and Bronzo Mayan. We have someone who's a dear friend, someone who I kind of follow from afar. I respect the way he moves, but we haven't had the chance to meet.
Did you call him Jafar?
Shai actually has a friend named Jafar. I'm a big fan of his. Awesome dude. Very flamboyant dresser, but awesome guy. Mark, Empire State Cards, Empire Sports Cards, Shywave Logs, teamed up this year, I believe, and they're kind of business partners in a sense, and they go after these grail cards, these insane cards that I could only dream of. And what I loved, and I got a little bit jealous, if I could be honest, was it looked like they were kind of like doing like a round-the-world trip a few weeks ago in Paris, in front of the Eiffel Tower, eating lamb chops. Shy was reviewing these lamb chops saying, 10 out of 10, the best ones I've ever had. And then I see them with this super fractor card. I'm like, this is sick. This is like you could make this into a 10, 20 minute movie. And I was like, come on here. Cage, you're shaking your head. Am I doing a terrible intro? Am I not?
No, this is not what I expected when you pitched this episode to me. I didn't know what was going to happen here. He messaged me and he says, listen, episode's going to be awesome. We're bringing on the newest hobby couple. And they just went to the Empire. They went to the Eiffel Tower. They took this romantic trip to, you know, they were eating lamb. And they were, like, you know, showing off their assets. And I wasn't expecting you guys. He did kind of sell it as a different guy. I'm happy it's you guys. But the way he sold it, it was a little different to me. So, I'm happy you guys.
I thought it was cool. I thought they made a trip out of something. But we'll get into that. Real quick, Mark, I want to ask you, how did you meet Shai? How did you guys get to this place? I want to hear the origin story. The origin story.
That's not Putnam? Oh, shit. I thought it was Putnam. Oh, it's a different person.
Putnam is in grad school recovering from CryptoPunks and all that stuff that's happening in FT land. Let's let Putnam sleep for right now.
When it comes to Shai, I actually saw him do his PSA video, I think over a year ago with like the wrong order. So that's how I found out about him. And then at one of the Dallas card shows, I was like coming in on a later day, but my dad was already there. My dad usually goes to the shows with me and he actually did a deal with Shai. So that's kind of how I got introduced with him, but nothing like we never really spoke. And then last year at the National, we did a deal together. We did a trade that eventually helped Shai get his gold Kaboom, his 9.5. And then we just did a deal. And then I got sick with COVID when we got back. And then Shai could explain the rest if he wants to. After that.
It's actually kind of crazy. So I'm just going to keep this part because we're here to talk about the Paris part. So basically, I saw the green Kaboom Kobe 101 pop up on eBay, hit the bin. I think I talked about it in like a recent story vlog. Like when you see a crazy card or grail, you get it now, you buy it, and then worry about later. Especially, this advice is only if you have enough cards and assets to kind of back it up, consolidate. There's value there. You know what I mean? Like multiples of like the card you're trying to chase. Don't do this using leverage. You know, don't take a mortgage out. So I hit the bin, bought it, needed cash like ASAP. So like he's like a mini MC sports cards, I guess, you know, at that time, because this guy, he was always like shaking and baking, doing, you know, crazy deals and stuff. So crazy is that he lives close to me, you know, in Queens, like 30 minutes away. So that just made things easier. I hit him up like, yo, I'm in a situation, crazy card. I already bought it. I have beyond more than enough cards to like take care of this. Don't worry. I'll give you beyond crazy comps. I use the word beyond too much. Just take it, hold it, hold 3X my cards, the value. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to get this deal done. Long story short, that's kind of how we met, and I'll just keep that story.
So he provided liquidity?
Instant liquidity.
Nice.
Very straightforward. I didn't want to hit up my other personal sources and stuff. You know, it was just like, I'd rather just, yeah, he was local. He knows cards. I have all these assets in cards. Let's try.
Did you have to go to his house? Did you have?
Yeah, I went to his house. The dude had COVID.
He came to my house.
Yelled at me, "Don't come." I legit took a cab. It was $60. Took a cab to his house. Dropped off a whole bunch of cards. At that time, I didn't.
Like on his doorstep. And you and then left?
We went to the backyard and we just sat outside because I was sick.
He went to, it was 8507 Queens Boulevard. And he showed up with like a duffel bag and he just loaded cash in it. Any listeners who know what movie that's from?
It's from Entourage. I think 20 years to this day, Entourage aired. So shout out.
Wow.
Queens Boulevard.
Yeah, Queens Boulevard is Entourage, but that specific address was a Wendy's for quite some time, but it was the address used for McDowell's. The McDowell's restaurant in Coming to America. Also,
I just watched Coming to America. It was hilarious. It was actually hilarious. Eddie that was Murphy, while PWCC bidding. But Mark, now that you've been doing business with Shy for let's say 6-7 months, what's something that surprised you about him?
What? Dude, you had an opportunity then. Now that you've known him for 2 years, what the hell is he talking about? That's what the question should have been.
No, what have you learned from Shy?
I think the biggest thing is like the social media aspect of cards and like how to present cards properly, because in the past I would just take a picture of like 10 cards and just post it, because like it was, for me, it's not that it was more transactional, but I didn't think that my base really cared about like a write-up about cards. So Shay, in my opinion, like he knows how to make people understand cards. Like if it's something like that no one ever sees, like he'll relate it to other sports or something like that, and people are like can easily understand it, so that creates a larger audience. And like he just knows how to interact well. Like I'm usually quieter, so I've become like more social after meeting him. That's something. I
Shay, same question. What have you learned from Mark?
Well, look, this kid is fearless. That's what I was always impressed of, to be honest. So I'm too much of an old school collector. So like during that crazy Jordan Bulls run up. You know, I'm not pumping anything, you know, but I'm just giving a small story. Like, I still wanted to hold on to my cards when things were going up 5, 7, 10x. And I've into these cards for, like, I have a card. It's up 50x. You know what? Look, I like it. I kind of like this card. What the F? You know what I mean? Move it. You could, you know, things drop. And we've seen, looking back now, it's like, oh, yeah, I probably should have done that. I could have got back my cards. My cards I moved at a way better price and still enjoy them and have, like, you know, a better collection. So he had that mentality. I had more of a longer term Warren Buffett type. He's more of the short term Stephen Cohen PSA investor type guy, you know, shaking and baking. So like two different minds, opposites, you know. I
think Cohen equals, Andrew's laughing type. Because it is on brand. I mean, when I think of you,
I never heard him laugh this much.
Well, yeah, when we think of AK, we think of Warren Buffett. You are Warren Buffett, clearly.
What do you mean? I'm crying.
I mean, you're more
Warren Buffett.
You're more like Elon Musk on crack. For investments, I think is more like it. But I understand what you're saying. The thesis, the longer term hold. Whereas, you know, some people are very good at separating the emotion. I mean, I think that one of the things, if I could describe Shay in one word, emotion is probably the one that I would use. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he wears it on his sleeve, right? You know how he feels about a card. It's very difficult for him to hide what he's feeling about a card. He's, oh my God, you know what I mean? His stories are hilarious. It's a passionate guy, right? But sometimes, and maybe this is why this is a good, connection here. It's that you need somebody who can separate the emotion from the business. You know, I'm guilty of it myself on so many cards, and people have told me, sell this card now. Sell it, separate the emotion, separate that you wanted this card when you were a kid, separate, you know, your story with the card, and just think about how much money you can get for the card now, and will there be an entry point at that card in 6 months that's less? And I don't do that well. I do not. to a detriment.
Mark, what's
go ahead.
Did you collect as a kid?
Yeah, I did, and then I stopped when I got into high school. But like I never like sold anything when I was a kid. I just would collect it and trade within school, but I had no clue about any values or like I didn't know what anything was worth. So we would just like go based off feeling. I want to trade it with someone. And that's it.
What were you collecting?
Hockey at first, because that's my favorite sport, and then a little bit of basketball and baseball, but like basically just hockey.
It's funny because, I mean, I'm imagining when you were collecting, you know, the hobby was not what it was, what it is now. And you talk about how, hey, I collected this, but I didn't care what it was worth. I traded it with friends. You know, part of the reason some of the stuff has the value it has is because that was collected. You know, you were buying cards not because you were hoping to buy that card and flip it into something bigger. You were buying cards not because you were hoping to open a pack and get a card that was worth X and you could sell it immediately and then go buy more, which is the hobby today. It was, hey, I'm a Ranger fan. I want to get a Ranger card. Or, hey, I like Kobe, so I want to get a Kobe card and trade it with my friends or hang on to it or put it up on my dresser, you know. And those cards kind of got damaged and dinged and not saved and thrown out, sort of like parents threw out baseball cards in the 50s. And that's why some of those things have some value in real good shape. Whereas today, everybody saves every Desmond Bane hoops card that they get. So
you were on Desmond early, man.
I was.
We'll get into the trip because I do want to get to it and how that all came about. But I'm curious, like, the first 6 months of the year, and I don't know if you think in these kind of thresholds or metrics, have been a little up and down with cards. What are you thinking about, or how are you positioning as you head into, because a lot of the people listening don't have your experience, Mark. They don't have your experience, Shay. They want to learn from guys like you, right? 6-7-figure collections. How are you thinking about leading into national and then maybe the second half of the year? You know, are you going from shiny cards to vintage? Are you thinking, wow, some of this more modern stuff has been beat up and I'm moving into that? Without divulging all of your secrets, can you talk us through what you're thinking about from like a portfolio standpoint?
So I'll tell you, like, in regards to like shows in the national, I'll be honest, when I go into shows now, I have no expectations. So I don't like have a set, or like I want to move like over $50,000 worth of cards over $100,000 cards, literally just zero. So because I don't know what's going to happen. But when it comes to like, this is something that I learned from Shay, is that you have to target cards that like collectors will like, but then eventually like new collectors, it's easy for them to understand like one of one shield autos or logo mans or stuff like that. But like some of that stuff can get played out. Like in my opinion, in basketball, there's a bunch of logo mans. So you need to get like the best of the best, a logo man auto. 99% of the time it's unattainable. So I just like, personally, like yesterday, Golden Elite went live and I looked through PWC Premier. I'm happy when, if I own a card, like there's nothing similar to it in that auction, or it might, or if let's say my card is out of 10 and none of them are up, because that means that I probably bought something that is beloved by collectors and they're not going to want to sell it for a year or multiple years to come. So that's something that I look for. I don't like when stuff is being sold constantly, like it's just recycled.
I was thinking about you yesterday, Cage, because you have a joy. Somewhat. I was on Do Not Disturb, so sorry if I was a few minutes late. but I see the Jordan Fleer up for auction quite often. Does that annoy you as a collector?
No. So, I mean, the flip side to it is I know what my card is worth. I know what the floor on it is. I know if I need liquidity for the card, what I would be able to get. So I know bare minimum that if I want to move my card, right, I will be able to get $200,000 for it. You know what I mean? 170 plus, you know, 20% in these auctions, 204, 200,000, probably starting to move up more. You know, that's my, I think we've seen there's a floor for that card. And if I needed to liquidate it, I could sell it on my slabs for 180 and people will go crazy and they'll cancel the sale. So, remember when that happened? So, but cards like that have that repeat, you know, sales stuff, it does provide some more certainty for someone like me. And then I can mix in cards that are rarer, one of ones, don't come up for sale that often in my collection. So no, I think there's actually value in that. If we look at these things like portfolio, you know, if it's something that hasn't come for sale in a year or 2 years, you know, that also cuts both ways. You know, it allows Mark and Shay to say this card's worth $250,000 because who's going to tell them it's not? There's not going to be a card ladder value. There's not going to be anything else. But it also allows a buyer to say, F you, it's not even worth 80. And they probably won't sell it. But you don't have that liquidity option. You don't have that, you know, basically like an understanding of what something is worth, which when you talk about commodity type cards, you talk about, you know, things as assets. I kind of want to have that with some of my, you know, some of my items. So the Jordan, that doesn't bother me when it comes up for sale. It lets me know. The flip side, of course, though, is I can't storytell with the Jordan. I can't be like, wow, this Jordan's the greatest card in the world. You have to pay me $800,000 for this now because it's never going to come up again. I flew to Paris to get this one because I don't have to fly to Paris. I can walk down my block and probably find somebody who owns one, right? So I can't be a new style, you know, social seller creating a buzz about my Jordan card, because as I talk about it, people are going to say, you're full of shit. I'm going to go buy the one that comes up in the next PWCC auction. I'm not paying a premium for yours. Shoot.
How much do we actually need to storytell? So the card that Mark and Shai got was a one of one, mm-hmm. super fractor of the greatest soccer player who ever lived, auto. There's not a ton of...
You guys got a Roberto Baggio?
Walk us through the thought process before going to get that card. How did you price it? How did you think about it? You know, is this worth it? Is this not, Shay?
All right. So this is like, I guess, how it starts. I mean, So basically, this is how it is. So I had a good, I think I did a post on this. I wrote, what's so funny?
I don't know. So this is how it is. This is how it starts. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, he's a little Pinot Grigio in.
It's funny because I say, hey, you have to storytell. And he just, I mean, it's boom. Shay, go ahead and answer. Well,
no.
It was okay, a dark and stormy night.
Yeah.
The weather was sultry. I happened to be sitting on my iPad, not the one that I keep in my bedroom. It's the iPad that's in my living room, the one that's got the gold around it because I like gold. And I'm on eBay. And eBay sucks. You can't find the cards I buy on eBay. That's too pedestrian.
eBay sucks.
I go on this specific site that only
Alibaba,
and I found gold. I struck it. Okay, so continue. It's like a choose your own adventure now. You pick up from here.
Nothing like that, but just to touch on what you just your amazing commentary. There's crazy stuff that could pop up on eBay. We've had 90s wax that found a Kobe red PMG that people thought it was Fugazi and that shit was real, and he graded it and now he's happy. And everybody was like, dude, you deserve it. You know 90s wax. I don't know if you know him. He's like a king of like all the inserts, the shit that I, you know, kind of messed with. So like there's opportunities, you know, randomly eBay. But yes, generally speaking, maybe Andrew has a point with that thesis. And
He shops on Macari.
Oh, God. Okay, that was a better example. All right. So basically, about months ago, my good hobby friend, Crepes and Cards, cool dudes from London, England. They're from like Sealet, my background. And they literally like have a crazy story, just to keep it short. They literally were the first ones with the Alpha Pele, you know, the crazy hand cut card that goes for like $1 million in PSA 9 or something. They were the first, the early birds of it, kind of, to like go to Sweden and get the magazines that were in it, cut it out, hand cut it, send it to Golden, and did all that. I was like, what the heck? You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. So they kind of showed me this card. I showed Mark. I was like, yo, we already had the Ronaldo Super Fractor. You know, what do you think? You know, this looks like very crazy. Like, it'll fit us perfectly. Like, you know, we got Messi and Ronaldo, the best ones in that set. So then he reached out, and then obviously the guy wasn't available. And then months later, randomly, you know, Mark was like, you know, he was just, you know, looking for deals and opportunities. Reached out to him, and then I guess Mark could start that part.
Yeah, so I messaged him, and I'm like, do you want to sell it yet? He's like, no, I don't need the money. I'm not going to sell it. And I'm like, oh, and then he goes to me, unless I get an offer that I can't refuse. I'm like, okay, listen, I don't know, like, the number that you're looking for, let me know how much you want. He still wouldn't give me a number. I threw out an offer and he's like, listen, let me sleep on it. I'll let you know. He rejected the offer. Then I raised it and then he didn't respond to us for 3 days. And then he accepted our offer. I remember I woke up at like 7 a.m. and I called Shay. I was screaming on the phone. I was like, listen, we need to book the trip today. We have to leave next week to Norway. And that's like basically how it happened. I was like, I was in shock. And
so he was like, all right, I'll accept your offer, but you have to be here next week.
No, he when we met him, he thought that we were bullshitting him. He's like, "You're gonna make up an excuse with your flight." That's what he thought. He's like, "You guys are gonna just say your tickets didn't work and you guys couldn't make it and you guys are just gonna back out." That's what he told us when we saw him in person. But when he agreed to it, I was like, "Listen, let me speak to you over the phone. How you want to do payment? Let me give you a deposit." So I gave him a deposit, and then we tried booking flights, but that took a while. It took like.
Did he have vouchers?
Look, Disney
no, Plus not media. Yeah. He didn't have vouchers. Like I knew like the people that were following him, I knew them, but the guy isn't like that well known. But he didn't have any vouchers, and I didn't want to scare him away by like being very contractual. So I was like, "Listen, I'll just do what you want me to do." And we were taking a risk. I was like, "Listen, if you want the money this way, I'll just give it to you, and I'll see you in Norway when we get there next week."
Yeah.
Right. Holy shit.
Like, let me see the card in hand, and then the money is ready. Don't worry. And then he looked at our vouchers. He kind of went through my Instagram, like we pulled up, and he saw, okay, this guy, they're not BSing. You know, they went to Hawaii before for the other Superfractor Ronaldo. He knows about that. Like that was another crazy deal we did about like 4 months ago.
This guy credit. I don't know how anybody deals with you.
Why? What? What are you talking about?
I'm my brain is scrambled just from this story. Was it in Norway or France?
No, it was Norway.
The hell were you doing in the Eiffel Tower?
They flew to France first because they got confused. They booked the wrong flight.
No. I mean, did you pick up another card in France? I mean, like, what the hell is going on here? I can't deal with you guys. I'm so lost.
So basically, I'll just cut it. So basically, we booked the trip to Norway. I was like vlogging my story, like recording it, because I didn't want to release all the
people
the
loved it right away. You put it up there. It was the Norway. There was a train. There was an airplane. Then there was another plane and another train. And then you were on the Eiffel Tower and eating pizza. What the hell happened? How did he take a train?
As soon as we got to Norway, we checked in. You know, we're gonna check out the guy. So then, you know, basically, he picked us up.
You
from the
went
airport.
To Norway to check out guys. What did you just say?
No. He does the shy. It's not your fault.
Not everything's shy.
It's all fine.
He's a lawyer.
I don't care. I mean, it's
by the way, the hat is awesome. The hat is dope. The hat
you
is
can put
dope.
The hat back on, dope. But I don't know what a Norway has to do with the Eiffel Tower.
You're catching me. You're catching me.
Well, have you ever seen Eurotrip, Cage?
Yes.
Have you ever seen the movie?
Yes. Bratislava was awesome.
Bratislava. It's a stone's throw. Norway. You drive an hour. You're in France. You drive another hour. You're in Germany. They're all right next to each other. So I'm thinking, if I'm booking a flight and going to get this card, I might as well make a trip out of it.
There was a theme in Eurotrip, and the theme in Eurotrip was Scotty doesn't know. And that
Scotty
theme
doesn't know.
That theme Scotty is carrying over to this episode because our listener doesn't know. Our listener doesn't know what the hell we're talking about. So there was a messy one-of-one that you guys were going to buy. The guy said no. Then you made him an offer. He couldn't refuse. He said yes. 3 days later, you call Shay, and he's very excited. And this guy says, you're going to back out. It took you a while to buy tickets. You bought tickets to Norway. You go to Norway. You go to your hotel. You check out the fjords. Then go.
Yeah. Basically, as soon as he accepted the deal, we literally started trying to book flights within 24 hours.
Why'd you go backwards? I have you in Norway already.
I'm just correcting the narrative. So like everything is like.
At what point in time did the Kaboom Cabal join you on this trip? That's what I want to know.
Kaboom Cabal, what's that? Who's that?
Yeah, you know the Kaboom Cabal.
You're talking about the greed?
No, the Kaboom Cabal. You know.
Cage thinks that there's a group.
It's like the Illuminati. I know them.
Kaboom owners.
It's a Kaboom. I've been saying this for a year.
No, they're passionate.
The Kaboom Cabal.
There are passionate people that love certain type of cars. There are passionate people that love Galactics. I know. Shout out to Mission Street. I know he's huge on them. Josh Carver Chronicles. Love them since, you know.
Galactic Cabal does not sound good. Kaboom Cabal sounds great.
There's NFT group chats. There's CryptoPunk group chats.
Yeah.
There's Bored Ape group chats.
Different cards have like different type of people that just love.
It's a collector base. It's a collector base.
Yeah.
No, I don't like the Kaboom Cabal. I feel like I'm being led astray.
You have a Jordan group chat.
Yeah. No, I don't.
It's with me.
Okay, good. That's true. All right, so you're in Norway.
Yeah, so we get there, we agreed, started booking flights, blah, blah, blah. I was like, F it. This guy forced me to use first class. You know what I mean?
Didn't.
I'm so cool. You know what
wait,
I mean?
Wait. He said he didn't. He said he didn't force
this
you
guy,
to do
it. You know what I mean? This is how he deals with it. It's fine. But then there's a video I uploaded on my story one time, Steve Harvey on like inspirational shit. One time, try to get a first class. You can see how it feels like. It motivates you, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll use Steve Harvey's little, you know, thingy. And I was like, you know what? Let me do this. Damn, I loved it, man. You could lay down. I liked the service. I enjoyed it. It wasn't the difference. Was like, it was a long flight. So maybe it's worth it. But anyways, we get to Norway, check into the hotel, meet the guy, picked us in the airport, takes us to his house. Then we met his parents.
His parents' house.
Yeah,
his parents' house.
Yeah, his parents' house.
No.
He had his own place. He just sold his condo property, and he was kind of looking to his next, you know, thing, what he wants to do, what he wants to buy a house, whatever. Like, you know, that's his
was
own
his father's name Odin. Did he have a heavy hammer?
His father's he name was Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland, even better. That's all the Norwegians I know. Anna and Elsa, I think.
He was on a ladder, literally, in a farm, like freaking nailing something with the hammer.
Do you know Norway's one of the richest countries in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
Like per capita, the people there are very wealthy.
Yeah, they're happy. Yeah, I love Norwegians. They're some of the like just the nicest people. You know what I mean? Just so down to earth.
Would you hate the Norwegian people if he backed out of the deal?
Yeah, would I still love them? Yes, I would still love them. I don't know what you just said.
I would be furious if I flew that far and then he backed out of the deal.
Oh yeah,
totally.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, we had our gut. Go with your gut instinct. Like there's too many signs saying that this is legit, as opposed to too many signs saying that, yo, what could go wrong? You know what I mean? Like, it's just the balance. Like, you just have to use your judgment and like your character from just, you know, the life, I guess. Anyway, we got there, see the car, yada yada. Did the, you know, the deal. We shook on it. It took some time for, you know, everything to be converted into all the stones and the, you know, the kroners or whatever. And then the next day we came back.
What the hell are you talking about?
They did a wire transfer from USD to
you paid kroner. Them in stones.
Yes,
kroner is their currency.
All right.
The 3G.
I speak Shay.
Yeah.
He was a little worried to give us the card until he saw the money in his account. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was interesting. We thought that, dude, like, we're legit as F. We're literally flew out. I'm on social media. You think I'm going to do some bullshit right now? Hypothetically, even we had weird, random issues with, like, the transfers. I'm not going anywhere. Dude, you give us the card. We will give you what we agreed on. We're going to agree to it.
Shay, you have to.
That was a quote.
You have to
read. I'm legit as F. Yeah. I'm on social media.
You telling this guy, I'm legit as F. I'm on social media. And his parents.
Am I really going to screw this? I've been vlogging this shit. I already pulled. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? Like,
think for a second, dude. These are Norwegian farmers, and you walk into their house. Okay? They're going to think something weird is about to happen.
Well, I get their point of view. I get it.
Mark, does he walk in like this? Like, does he walk in full Shay, or is he walking in like.
I think we were both a little reserved when we walked in because we didn't know what to expect.
New country.
No, I was a little nervous.
Yeah,
definitely. 100%.
I mean, how could you not be?
Yeah,
you could go missing forever in Norway.
I know it's gonna be hard to find somebody on a farm.
How long were you guys in Norway? They ate it too?
We were in Norway for like three, four days, and then we left to France. Norway got boring, so we left.
Let me do a storytelling here. Basically, we're in Norway. We closed the deal. It's Wednesday. I was like, Norway has these beautiful views. You know those rocks you see on Instagram? People, you know, with the aerial shots with the drone. They're standing in the edge of a cliff. They look like they're falling down. All that good stuff. It's in Norway, to be honest. There's names for that. I don't know if Mark remember. 6-hour train ride, 6-hour hike. No way.
The fjords.
Mark being bougie. Let's take a flight. You know what I mean? 3 a.m. This guy, you know, tries to like be like, yo, let's take a flight to Paris. You know what I mean? And There we go. Yep. You got it. Those rocks. Yep. If anybody's been watching on YouTube, that's exactly that one too. It was too far. So he decided, I was like, yo, we're in Europe, you know, F it, let's go to the France. You know, we got a Mona Lisa type card. you know, I know.
Let's go to the Louvre.
Yeah, so let's go there. And then look, seeing the Mona Lisa, that museum, it gets booked and packed. And somehow there was one available. So things were aligning, you know, for the next day. And then I was like, it was late night. I literally just gave Mark my Amex and was like, yo, just figure it out. This is my budget. Don't wake me up before 9 a.m. And he figured out the itinerary to be very frank, 100%. The credit and the idea of France, which was amazing idea to go, like, F it, to make it happen. That was it. So we ended up in Paris, saw, you know, Versailles, the Treaty of Versailles, Louis the 14th.
Were you listening?
Guys,
were you listening?
Please watch this on YouTube.
That's where all that happened.
Were you listening to Sade while you were visiting the Palace of Versailles?
Who can say that? That's all. Yeah. Oh, no. It's Sade, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, Sade.
Mark, I have a newfound respect for you. I
have a newfound respect for Putnam.
I'm done with the hobby. This is what I mean.
Nah, dude, the hobby loves you.
Yeah. Listen, you're a character, and somehow you brought back this amazing one-of-one messy auto, and you guys came back alive. You were forced by your partner to fly first class. Woe is you. And you got to go to France. Did you do a pizza review in France?
Yeah, so we actually pizza review?
No, we didn't do one in France.
No, the other one was in Norway again. But that pizza shop was also in France. So in France, the first day we landed, crazy traffic.
Wait. No, we didn't do a pizza review in France. We did it in Norway, but that pizza shop was in France. What?
They have
one.
It was a chain. It went to pizza.
Mark, you tell them, man.
No, so when we got to France, there was two. We made reservations to go to dinner to this pizza spot, but we were too late to the Eiffel Tower, so we canceled it. Shay didn't let me eat the whole day. I didn't eat for 24 hours. So, yeah. So then when we came back to Norway on that Sunday, we went to the same pizza spot. They had the location in Oslo.
The dynamic of this relationship is amazing. He's complaining. He's complaining. You force him to fly first class. He forces you to starve.
Oh,
how the hell does this work?
I'm legit.
I'm legit as F. I'm on social media. Done. Oh, the title.
What I mean by that, dude, he looked at my pictures. He was like, dude, is he really going to screw me? No, like, dude, we're not going anywhere. We'll honor the deal 1,000,000,000%. Like, don't worry. You know, I'm not going anywhere. If I have to extend my trip, if some weird banking shit happened, the nonsense, verification, no, we're not leaving. You're good. Like, I'm not going to ruin my freaking reputation for some, you know, like something so as dramatic as this. You know what I mean? It's just beyond.
Now, here's the best part of this story. You. The second best part, though, is this, all right? When stories like this are told, the one piece of information that everybody listening to our podcast wants to know is how much you paid. And you will never, ever, ever tell them that. And this is the difference between the Michael Jordan card that Andrew talked about and your card. Because you need to keep that close to the vest because your goal will be eventually to sell that card. And you want to obviously make money on that card. So we have the details about what pizzeria you ate in. We have who ate, who flew first class. We have all of the details in the world. But no one will ever get to know what you paid for the card. Because if they knew that, you could not make money on it.
No, actually, go ahead.
I wouldn't say that because for a card like this, in order to price a card like this, you have to look at other cards since it is a one of one, and there are other parallels in the set, like reds, for example, that are out of 10. So when those appear to like, even like I want to wait until a red would hit the market or another big modern Messi, like a Prism Gold, hits the market and see what that sells for.
And because wouldn't you bid that one up yourself?
No, I don't do that stuff, but I'm not going to bid on something if I'm not going to buy it.
It's a big accusation.
No. I'm not saying you wouldn't buy it.
What would be the reason to bid on it if you don't really want it? Like, I have the Ronaldo Super. If I saw
if you want a 1-of-1, you would think the 5 is probably a good card to own also, no? I'm not saying you get a shill.
No, because
I would bid on it up to a price that I think it's worth, and if I win it, I win it. But not just to like bid it up for no reason.
I mean, it's fair to say, Shay, that if you think this one of one is worth $1 million, let's just throw a ridiculous number out. You think it's worth $1 million, that you'd want the five at 200, 250, 300, whatever fair. It is, and you'd pay that for it.
Fair.
Not
fair.
Not just protecting your own investment is fine, but
1,000,000%. I see your point of view.
I wouldn't say you'd bid it up to not pay for it, but there's a price where you would want that card too.
I see exactly where you're coming from, what angle you're trying to take, and I'm not going to say the M word, you know, because this is not what we're about. But with me, when I make a bet in a private market for a certain card and paying an X amount, I kind of want to low key see what the lower parallel is going to do naturally on its own, just to see, like, am I stupid that I overpay? Just to judge my freaking shit. Do I even, like, am I stupid for being in the hobby? Am I smart?
Fair.
Do I
have something?
Like, fair. I genuinely, I look, I all the time, I want to see what other cards just, even if I own them, I just want to see what the hell the other guys are doing. Am I stupid? Am I, you know, just, you know how you said you wanted to get transparency in your Jordan Fleer PSA 10? Yep. You don't have to. That's already given. You know what I mean? Yep. Every month you'll have two comps. You know what I mean? For all the major actors. This one, you're not sure. And guess what? All this is rosy. We actually took a loss on like a Jordan tag that was on PWCC recently. You know, I'll just like sum that up. We bought it in the private market, literally double. We got offered from, you know, shout out to Waldo Stories. He wanted to, you know, pick up that card. But basically, you know, the guy's a genius. You know, he was like, he offered us a number very similar to like, kind of like where he got it in-ish. And we held it for a while and we ran it, you know, because it's a card that hasn't comped in 3 years. It's a Jordan tag. And on Golden, it did 100K. And we had a tag, a version of that tag with the Bulls, you know, Jordan tag. Like, you just don't see it. There's no comps. And then that card did what? Like 13 or 14K, something like that. And we were wrong. You know what I mean? So like this whole thing, that's why, like, when you mentioned that, I was like, dude, like, I genuinely just want to see what these other lower power, like, is this like legit? Are we being stupid buying this for this much flying there? You know, this was expensive just to get there. So yeah. That's my point of view. Like, that's how I kind of always value this market. You know what I mean? Like, how to like see it. So yeah, go on.
I mean, listen. This is one of those where there is a story. You'd have to have a story to get the card, because think of what it took you guys to pry the card out of the owner's hands who had it, right? I mean, you had to fly there. You had to pay him in rocks. I mean, you had to do all this stuff. Shay had to sleep with his mom. I mean, there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So, I mean, it was just insane, right? You said that, right?
You lost me at sleeping with the mom stuff.
That's Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson week. It's Zach Wilson week. We're just doing
that's going to be old Zach. News.
Next. Zach Wilson? Oh. Wait, what'd you say? You literally broke up.
Zach Wilson. You know who Zach Wilson is.
Oh, yes, the football player, the wife swap, the girlfriend. Yes.
See, that's...
when jokes are explained, it's so much worse, man. It's so cringe. Okay. Shai, are you having fun?
I guess. Dude, look, I may be a little extreme and intense, but I still treat this hobby as fun. You know, it's not working. I actually, some of the people that are in this hobby, they're pretty dope, cool people. I'm not gonna front. And you two are one of these random strangers I met over the internet, you know, on a podcast. And I fucks with you guys heavy, you know, in person. Yeah. Like, dude, you can actually hang out, like, genuinely, just vibe.
And dude, I can't wait to hang out with you at the National. And we're giving him a hard time, but because there is literally no one like this guy in what we do. No one. You're not going to see another episode like this on any other podcast. Of course, I give him a hard time because I would love to rein him in a little, but why should we? So instead of this episode, me trying to like actually get the story, I just push and now let's go the other way. Let's let him be. Let him be this crazy
behind himself. The scenes, Shay. He's very complimentary of you.
I love you.
All bullshit aside.
Scenes in front of the scenes, I'll say it. No, because listen, the fun thing is, right, the hobby is an interesting place, right? And everybody loves it when the going is good. Everybody loves when we're all making money. Everybody loves it when there are actual conversations going on of, I'm not buying that card. That card will only 5X next month. I need something that's going to 10X in a month. Those were actual conversations that were being had in this ridiculous hobby over the last couple of years. But you know what happens when prices start moving sideways and you go into what I'm not even going to call it a down period. I'm going to call it a consolidation period. You go into a time where, you know, people are collecting their assets. People are buying good things, waiting for the next leg up, as you see in stocks, you name it. It gets a little boring. You are not boring. the hobby should be thankful that we have people like you in it, because, you know, I go on Instagram, there's only so many times I can see, you know, what logo man was pulled today, because there seems to be a logo man pulled every friggin' day, and it's not an actual logo man. They got it at Dick's Sporting Goods. But I see your stuff. I'm usually lost, but I'm smiling. You know what I mean? So,
Mark, what's one thing we don't know about Shay that you've gotten to know him over the last, you know, certain amount of months? You see him behind the scenes.
Look how nervous he is. He's like, oh, what are we going to say?
He's like, here's my American Express card. Don't wake me up till 9 a.m., which is just a shocking thing to say to a friend. But
we're not Norway, man.
That's right. Don't wake me. Bring me eggs Benedict, and you're not allowed to eat. Don't wake me before 9.
So, like, on a personal level, I'm 21 and Shay's in his 30s. So I've honestly, like, learned a lot, like when it comes to my own relationship with my own friends or with my girlfriend or with my parents. Like, Shay has taught me from his experience, or when it comes to business, how to treat people. So he's very good at giving advice, and, like, he's very, like you said, like, he's very loyal, but he's very good at giving advice, and he wants everyone to succeed around him. I don't see him talking bad about anyone, so that's something that I'd say I've learned about him in the past year.
Do you ever picture yourself as the old dog, the mentor? You're the old, wise, sage
Warren
one?
Warren Buffett and Steve Cohen is their half the age. Same shit.
Warren Buffett.
Not even business partners. Steve Cohen bought PSA, Warren Buffett. But yes, I agree. One thing that I love about you, Shay, is you're non-judgmental. Like, it doesn't matter who you meet, you treat them all on an equal playing field. And that works both ways, right? Like, we look at people below us and we treat them a certain type of way, but also people suck up to the people above them, right? There's that tendency. And I think you have always been very even with people above you and below you without the prejudices and the prejudgments and all that stuff. And that's respectful.
It doesn't always work, by the way. I mean, he gets his share of crap from people. People let him down, just like they do us as well. You know, it happens. It definitely does.
Is that true, Shay?
Wait, what do you mean people let me down?
Oh, the hobby? I mean, the hobby folks.
Wait, the green kaboom fiasco we're talking about?
I mean, there's more than that. You know, I mean, there are people who will promise that they're going to do stuff for you and they don't come through. There are people who... Yeah, I mean, it happens. It happens in the hobby. So, you know, it is what it is. It happens in all walks of life.
I think a more accurate comp to you, Shay, is like a Steph Curry. I think you have a short memory. What I admire about Steph is he could shoot 12 threes, miss 12, and he'll shoot his 13th one with them as much confidence. I think that's you. I think the reason you can't remember people letting you down is you're back. You're like, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next?
So yeah, I'm on that board too. Like, that's the way I think, kind of like, don't give a F, but I do have like weird random confidence issues, but then in business, even making plays. But then I see kind of Mark being kind of fearless sometimes. It could be his age, you know what I mean? His background compared to my background, you know, I have to be like I have a shorter risk tolerance. I got to know, you know what I mean? Like, my threshold is just way more tighter. Like, I got to make sure that this shit is right. So that's why, like, my background and his fearlessness and my thesis and stuff, like, it just kind of, like, works to, like, you know.
So to the extent you're willing to share, what is this relationship to extend between Shay and Mark? It started off as, hey, you're going to provide some liquidity for me because I'm going to get a car.
There's a pawn shop.
Didn't work
Mark
out.
Was just pawn shop.
Did you say pawn?
I made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Like, I could have gone to anybody. Dude, I'm giving you 3x my thing. If something goes wrong, if I die, dude, I'm signing a contract, everything official, notarized. Like, you keep everything. I don't care. I'm not going anywhere. That's how confident I was in this situation.
But then now it's, are you guys basically buying a fund of cards together?
I mean, it's a joke, the whole fun thing. It started out as a joke. We bought our first card. What was it, Mark? The Ronaldo, right?
Oh, so this is what happened. This is actually, I didn't say this, like, how we started to do business together. Mm-hmm. Basically, there was a card for sale. I didn't have that much funding at the time. It was last year. So I offered it to another friend. Hey, you want to go 50-50 on it? I know we could make money on it. This friend agreed to do it with me, but then he backed out last minute. So then I spoke to Shay, and this was a soccer card. I was like, do you want to split it 50-50 with me? And Shay was like, no, I don't know if I want to split a card 50-50. Like, it could get complicated. Anyways, I convinced him. We split the card. We made money on it. And then, like, that's how we just, like, I would bring him up with, like, an opportunity. Like, this card's available. Do you want to go into it? Let me know what you think. And that's how it started. And our mindset is like, you have to have one big hit a year. So you have to get it right at least once a year on, like, a big card, or, like, just have a good return on one card. And then everything else is, like, you could take more risk, basically.
Mark, you're 21. People listening says want to know, is this your job? Is this what you're doing now?
No, I'm in college.
You're in college?
I'm in pre-dental. I'm pre-dental.
Nice. Yeah. And Shay, this is your job.
Dude, no, man. It's a hobby. Hobby first. I have, like, I'm in real estate.
He flips houses. Cage, have you remember the first time we interviewed him? He had that hole in his wall. No hole behind him at all. He flipped that house, and now he has a beautiful golden mirror.
I see the mirror.
I renovated it. It's
and you sold it, right?
No, dude. I took it off the market. With the interest rates and all this stuff going on, I was like, dude, inflation and all that, is better to hold on to these things, especially when you own it outright and stuff. So, like, might as well just collect the rent. Rent's just gonna go higher, you know, when less people could afford houses. It's just natural economics, I guess. But yeah, that's like kind of like my bread and like my, what do you call it, bread and butter ish.
Yeah.
And the hobby is like a fun thing, but the hobby's taking up so much of my time, and I'm so into it, knee deep, neck deep, ear deep, eye deep, whatever. I'm just too into it, and I guess you can say it's like literally my full-time thing, you know. It's weird. It requires an explanation, but yeah.
All right, so you go into shows with no expectations, Mark. I love that take, and I think people should have that take who are doing business in the hobby, because, you know, you didn't say this, but if you go into a show saying I'm gonna make $50,000 in the show, sometimes you make bad deals to get to that number for no reason. All right, you made 30,000 good deals, and now just to get that other 20, you're going to sell something you should sell for 25 or 30. It's kind of silly to set those arbitrary things. Also, you just never know what opportunity is going to pop up for you at a show, so it's great to go in without expectations. We have this little show coming up, the National. I assume both of you guys are going to be there. Give me one thing each one of you that you're looking forward to at the show. Not, you don't have an expectation, not selling something for 50 grand, somebody you want to see, some place you want to hang out, you know, some party you want to go to, something that you're, you know, is like, I want to be at the National, but here's one thing I definitely am looking forward to. Either one can take it first.
So I'll say I've done a decent amount of deals, like, with people who are overseas, and I have a really close friend who's coming from Australia, who I speak to on a weekly basis, and he's coming to the US, so, like, I'm looking forward to meeting him. And also my younger brother, he's been getting into cards, he's 11. So he's coming to the National for all 6 days.
Wow.
So I want to see how he's going to do at the show. He has his own card, so I want to see what's going to happen.
Who does he collect?
Basically, I have a box of, like, a bunch of raw cards, and he just picks stuff out. Like he helps me, like, scan cards, for example. So if he scans cards, I'll tell him, like, here, just take these cards. But he mainly likes basketball and soccer. And he loves Pokemon. I don't like Pokemon. He loves Pokemon.
Shay SGA.
Yeah. So last National, again, zero expectations. I came back with the Grail, a monster. From shout out to Spurs Fantech. You know, that was a crazy deal in itself. It requires a whole nother story. But anyways,
how about this? What card did you leave the National with?
It was the BGS 95 Kaboom Kobe Gold
out of there. We go. All right, so what are you looking forward to now?
So this year, same thing. Dude, I'm looking for excitement. So, like, we'll have all the cards displayed. Yo, Mark, where, what, 2533? What was it?
Yeah, 2533. It's not far from Tops and Fanatics. It's like,
yeah, so we'll be, you know, the easiest way to find us, table 2533, close to Tops and Fanatics. We'll have banners and all that good stuff. But just pull up to the table, meet the people. And, dude, if you got crazy cards, throw it. You know, we're always looking to see what's up. Like, we want to see what's inside of people's showcases. And
throw it like Slab Strong? Like, throw it? Throw the card?
No. Like, throw the cards. Throw the cards you got.
Like throw them down. Okay, so here's my next question. There was a funny episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where the Jews who all go to the temple only for high holy days, they can't get tickets. So they have to buy scalper tickets. That's what they call it, scalper tickets for the high holy days. And they got to pay extra for the tickets. Did you guys have to pay scalper tickets for your table? I mean, Mark, you're 7 years old. Did you have to buy? Did you have to buy like an aftermarket table? I mean, like, what did you have to like? What happened here?
So I did a few big deals like a year or two ago with a good friend in Minnesota, and he said like he honestly doesn't go to the. He has a big family, and he doesn't go to the National to really sell any cards. He's just there to like hang out with friends. So he's like, you could have some cases for my table. So
last year, table, okay,
yeah. So I had 3 or 4 cases last year, and he helped me out again this year. So, yeah.
There we go. That works. Good to have friends.
Yeah.
I got to be nicer to people.
You guys, to watch Alex Hormozy, this young entrepreneur that I've been following recently, I think he would work well for you guys if you want to watch on YouTube. But he talks about how a business is only 3 superstars away from getting to where it needs to be. 3 superstars. So I see 2 in front of me. Someone who's in charge of acquisitions, a captivating personality, someone that radiates energy.
Needs sleep. Don't wake them.
Someone who handles customer service, right? So once you have people in the door, take care of them. Reminds me of you, Mark. And then the third is to keep those 2 people out of jail. An accountant, operations. I swear to God. Keep those people out of jail in accounting, operations, all that other stuff.
Legal.
Risk management. I think you guys have.
We got a legal guy in front of us. Yo, dude, is this a pitch?
That's a pitch. That was his pitch. I'm still waiting to hear.
I'm
waiting to hear what he brings to the table.
I don't bring anything.
Stunningly handsome.
This is officially a pitch for Cage to be our legal department.
So what's the name of the business? You guys are going to have banners. Yeah. Is it going to be like Shy and Empire?
It's easy.
Empire
Shay.
On the show?
Empire Shay. Empire Shay.
Guys, we need help
Empire,
with this.
So kind of, Empire Shite. Look,
it's either Shamark or Marche. And those sound so corny and disgusting. We combined our
names.
So
then it's not either or. It's not going to work. Go with the third option.
We need help. We need help with the fun name for real, though. Seriously.
Empire of the Shay. Listen,
I mean, this to me.
Empire of the Sun, the band?
This is easy.
You don't know Empire of the Sun?
Yes, of course.
Christian Bale. It's so easy, it's hard. How about that? It's so easy, it's hard.
No, your followers will be called the Funky Bunch, and you guys together will be Shay Marky Mark. Shay Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
No.
Okay.
We could have a poll. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean, why do you have to combine names?
And we don't. We don't. We are who we are. We're just friends. We're having fun in the hobby. We buy cards together here and there. We have the same general interest. Like, it is what it is. Like, why do
you have? You're gonna have banners. What's gonna be on the banner?
Oh, Shay doesn't have a banner.
I don't have a brand name. I have nothing. I have nothing. I just made my first ever business cards. And Mark, when I showed it to him, he was like, dude, that's not even you. Get the F out of here. Why are you doing that? And then I had to give him my Facebook profile. I was like, dude, that is me. I had shorter hair and all that. But I posted it. Yeah, that's my first. I just wanted a QR code. People ask for business cards still.
They do.
I was shocked. I was like, all right, I got you. But here.
You gave him a business card. I'm excited. I want a card.
I got you. I'll sign it.
I want. And then I'm going to have it graded.
Ooh.
Guys, please! Oh, Shay's not going to do this. Empire of the Sun, great band, really good music.
Empire of the Shay.
Did I say that right? Empire.
Look, the egos get in the way. Shay's Empire of Shay. If you both ways, it's like it's me. It's not just me. It's him too. You get it? That's the funny part about this whole shit. His name is Empire Sports Cars. My name is Shay with Vlogs. Empire of Shay. Shay of Empire. It just, dude. No, you get it. See, it's harder than it is.
The Empire Strikes Shay.
Oh God, no.
Luca Nation, that's another episode. If this is a little bit more scattered all over the place, well, I should have saved you the time and told you this in the beginning. We have 745 other episodes for you to go through. We try to diversify our guests. We try to make it different every single day. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. A week away, guys. Mark, I'm excited to meet you in person. Shay, excited to catch up with you. Cage, you're always the man.
Thank you for having me on.
Tigers and Bronze, oh my, podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.